Hey, hey, this is Julie, and you're listening to Grace Over 40, the podcast for women over 40 who want to get back in touch with who they are and where they're headed and match the faith they're wanting to the faith they're living. But this ain't your mama's Christian podcast, so buckle in for some real talk and a good sprinkle of humor, along with some faith-filled encouragement as we ride this 40s thing out together. Thanks so much for being here. Hey, hopefully you follow me on social media and you have seen some of my posts about midlifery. Do y'all know about midlifery? I'm so excited about this. Midlifery is my members only coaching community that kicks off on August 1st. And I have never been more excited about anything that I've done, honestly. I love bringing you a podcast. I love writing my studies. I love all of those things. But I really have been trying to think for the last few months of a way that I could really truly guide you through a lot of the stuff that we come up against midlife and give you actionable steps and a game plan to get you from where you are to where you want to be and to experiencing all of the awesome things that life has for you, that God has for you, getting out from under kind of just the messy middle. So I would love to personally invite you, my beloved podcast listeners, to midlifery. You can find it on my website. There's a tab there for it. And like I said, it starts August 1st. You have a few more days to get in. Doors close on July 31st. And right now, if you get in as a founding member, you also get a pretty awesome discount. So please go check it out. I will also put the link to the midlifery sign-up page where you can learn a lot more about it in the show notes on my website. Please join me in midlifery. I would love to have you there. I'm talking today to Tyler Smith. Tyler is a pastor, an author, an NBA sports writer, and also the second guy to ever be on the Grace Over 40 podcast. So how exciting is that? We're going to be talking about a book he wrote called Searching for Seven, and I love the premise of this book. It's about basically how to have God in your life every day, how to make that realistic and the impact that it can have when we do so. So let's jump into my conversation with Tyler. I'll let him tell you the rest. My guest today is Tyler Smith, and Tyler has written a book that I am so excited about. It's actually something that I've talked to you guys about a little bit before, not the book, but the premise. It's called Searching for Seven. Tyler, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. So Tyler's book is kind of about how to walk with God on the daily. So I just want to start, Tyler, if you could just tell us a little bit about you and your book.
Absolutely. I've been in youth ministry for about 15 years. I started in college and I have a wife and two daughters that are 3 and 1. And I'm also NBA sports writer for the Indiana Pacers and some college basketball as well, Indiana Hoosiers. I also coach girls varsity basketball here in Indiana, and then really felt compelled to write this book. I started to compile notes a couple years ago, and then I wrote it in 2019, and then it just released here in June. So very excited about it. I'm blessed to be able to do all these different things and try to bring God glory in all of them.
I love it. And I do want to tell you, so you're the only dude on my podcast besides my husband so far. so far it's just, he's been the only guy who's been on here. So that's another reason why I'm kind of stoked to talk to you. It's a little bit of a different
club.
Yeah. Right. So what drove you to write this book specifically, like on this specific subject?
Well, when I started to compile notes several years ago, you know, it really started as just an offering to God. And I wanted to combine, you know, things that I have taught over the years and then my writing experience. And I started to realize as I started to, you know, write all these notes that it was really fitting into the same category of looking for God all 7 days a week, not just at church, you know, not just thinking about God once a week or when tragedy strikes or, you know, when you get a promotion or things like that, but in all aspects. So, I mean, even the little things like you enjoy a food that you like, or you're playing basketball, or you're with your friends, or you're, you know, listening to music, just being aware of God in those moments. And I've been through a lot of experiences, and there's a lot of scripture that has really, you know, helped me in life with those, you know, those types of things. And so when I came up with the title, I went and ran with it, and, you know, very proud of how it turned out.
Yeah. And that's, The whole premise is something that it's kind of weird because I've been a Christian since I was a little kid, but I was very definitely more of like a Sunday morning type Christian. You know, I kind of looked at it like where I would go to church and I would get filled up for the week. And then, you know, I would go about my week and then go to church the next Sunday and get filled up for the week. But the fact of the matter is that when you leave that building and you go out into the world, that quote unquote filling up doesn't last very long time. Like by Monday afternoon, I was tapped out. Like that was it. I felt like I, you know, was not feeling holy anymore or motivated or, you know, any of those things. So I really had to be very intentional about starting to fill up the other day. So reading my Bible, doing devotions, listening to podcasts, all of that stuff to just make sure that I kept filled up on a regular basis, because it doesn't take very long for the world to just zap that out of you.
Sometimes it's on the ride home from Sunday when somebody cuts you off or there's some kind of stress or pressure for, you know, something you have to get done, or you're just kind of, you know, want to, you know, be in your own world and not really think about anything maybe faith related. But, you know, I think it's a struggle for really everybody, at least at some point in their life, or maybe for most of their life, to have that mindset of, you know, following God every day. And, you know, it's not always easy to get in the Word and, you know, talk with other Christians. And, you know, the word that you use, which I love, is intentional. You got to be very, very intentional about how I'm seeking after God. I fully believe He seeks us and pursues us. But, you know, like any relationship, there's got to be a two-way street there. I've got to also do my part to look for Him in all things.
Absolutely. And I have talked to my audience before about the importance of just having some sort of routine around it. And it doesn't have to be super long and drawn out, but you have to do it regularly. And I noticed now that I've been doing this for a couple of years that when I miss a day, I don't necessarily think about the fact that I've missed a day, but it just happened a couple of weeks ago. I just had a day where I just couldn't cope with things. And I was annoyed and annoying, I'm sure, to the people around me because I was just off and just, you know, snapping at people and just felt just really like unable to handle stuff. And I realized that maybe 3 or 4 that afternoon, it was like God tapped me on the shoulder and He was like, see? And I thought about it and I thought, oh my gosh, I missed my time this morning. And so I didn't get filled up before I met with all of these frustrating things. And I could absolutely tell the difference.
Yeah, I've been there. I think a lot of people have been there, and it's just so important to, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of mindset of I'm coming to church to get filled up, but it's more so of like, you know, filled up with community and filled up with a message of the week. But then you still need, you know, your cup's going to empty at least a little by little after that. So you got to, you know, do other little things that can continue to keep your cup full. And, you know, we can definitely be off if we don't.
Yes, so much so. Really, it's just so important, which is why I wanted to talk to you. I think that this is a message that everybody needs to not only hear, but just really take to heart. And then, like I said, be intentional about actually pursuing it and doing it in their lives. So I wanted to talk to you about a couple of different things in the book specifically that I really thought were super profound. So in chapter 2, you talk about how we feel most alive when we're using the gifts that God gave us, and how if you're not doing that, you can start feeling like apathetic or even depressed. And I loved that because I know it to be true. In my own life, I have definitely experienced that. So can you just elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Absolutely. So the analogy that I like to, that I open that chapter with is I have this scooter that I ride sometimes that's in the shed at my house. And the problem is if I don't ride it very often, it's going to stop working. It's one of those, I mean, you can think of really any appliance in your house if you haven't used it in a long time. You know, for those of us that have cold winters, I don't think you have that problem, but, you know, if your lawnmower is, you know, sitting out somewhere for the winter, it's not going to work, the next spring. And the reason is those things are not meant to just sit there in a shed. They're meant to be used. I believe we are wired in a similar way in our faith. It says in Ephesians that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So if we were created to serve and created to do these good works and we're not doing them, we're going to basically waste away. We're going to feel like we're not being used, that our life doesn't have as much meaning and purpose. And I can't answer to something as serious as, you know, depression and mental health things that people face. However, advice that I would give to someone who may be depressed is, hey, let's go serve together somewhere. Let's go serve you know, give our lives to others. And then hopefully through that, you start to feel like I do have meaning and purpose. You know, I'm reminded there's a story, I did not share this one in the book, but there was a lady who is going to take her own life one night. And that day at work, somebody asked her where the vending machine was. And she, because of that simple thing, she felt like that she had value and meaning for someone. And so she chose to stay alive. I mean, it's, you just get chills when you hear stories like that. But it goes back to this idea that when you serve other people, you know, you start to feel like my life does have meaning and purpose, and I was created to do it. So how you serve others may look completely different compared to someone else, but it's important to put action to our faith. And yeah, it's really important.
Yes, I so agree. And I think that it helps in a couple of ways. First of all, it takes the focus off of ourselves and, you know, our misery and what we have going on. And then I think that, well, I know that God always blesses us when we bless other people. So it just, it's like a win-win for sure. So I loved that you mentioned that, because it definitely, it's made a huge difference in my life. And I know that it's something that is really important for other people to pursue also, definitely. So another thing that I loved is, I wanted to talk about in chapter 15, you speak about how a lot of people live focused on the future instead of here and now. And this is a struggle for me, and I know it is for pretty much everybody. We're so anxious to get to where we think we need to be that we're missing out on the here and now, which life is the here and now. And you mentioned how the Bible specifically says that we're supposed to live for today. So in your opinion, how do you think we can do a better job of that? Because I know that this is a struggle for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, scripture doesn't really talk about, it doesn't really talk about the word tomorrow, except when it says, don't worry about tomorrow or don't boast about tomorrow. It talks about today often. And, you know, it says to encourage one another daily. And, you know, there's so many things in there that are about the present tense. I think one of my messages of the book is for people to realize that, you know, what works for me may not work for you, but you have to, again, be intentional about finding out what that is. How do you feel closest to God? How do you hear from him? How do you feel like you have a true relationship with him? And like things that I do, I make sure I listen to at least two or three Christian podcasts every week. I make sure I'm listening to Christian music. I make sure I'm, you know, in God's word at least a little bit every day. Another thing I do is and this can be helpful to people who maybe they have a 9-to-5 job and kids at home and they don't have a ton of time for other things, but I make sure that I am intentionally starting Christian conversation, you know, faith-based conversations with people, whether they're Christian or not. You know, if they're not Christian, then you get to hear their side and you get a chance to share the gospel with them. If they are Christian, you get a chance to, you know, encourage one another, you know, iron sharpens iron, and, you know, have that mindset, that mentality. But you got to figure out what works. And if you haven't really done, if you feel like God's distant and feel like you haven't done anything that's worked so far, try to look up some different things that you could possibly do to get in that day-to-day mindset and not worry so much about what does tomorrow hold or what is my plan for next year, or the year after that. But really, can I plan for those things while focusing very, very much be present in this moment?
Yes. And I was just going to say the same thing. Like we're so worried about what, you know, 5 years from now is going to look like. But I feel like a lot of times we spend more time worrying about that and fretting about that than actually planting seeds or doing things right now that will have an impact 5 years from now. And really, the only thing we're doing about 5 years from now is worrying about it in a lot of instances. And that's not going to change anything but the way that you feel and the way that you show up in your life. So that was a really, really great reminder. So what other advice can you give the listeners on just, you know, how, like, specific ways to make sure that they're living with God 7 days a week? I mean, we talked about a few, like devotionals and, you know, just spending time in the Word, listening to Christian music, things like that. But is there anything else, maybe something different that you do in your life that could help somebody, especially like people that don't have a lot of time, which I think is a really big, I don't want to say excuse, but a really big reason why people say, well, I just can't make that a part of my life right now. It's just not realistic. Any advice for somebody in that situation?
Yeah, I think your community is so important. And if you don't have a ton of time for, you know, maybe to hang out with people, but maybe you have a chance to find online communities that can pour into your life, and even text messages or Facebook groups, different things. It's super helpful. Find opportunities to serve. You know, even if you only have one or two free nights in a month, try to do a couple hours somewhere, because I really am such a big believer in, if you want to hear from God, you want to feel close to God, go to where he wants you to go. And, he's always there. So a big part of it is just our awareness that he's there, but oftentimes we become more aware when we go to those places. I don't really hear anyone that, goes to serve in a homeless shelter and then says, I don't know where God is. And usually it's like, man, that was amazing. I could see God working. The Christian community, finding yourself a church, a small group, accountability partners. Another little practical thing that I do and that my church has done, we have these little bracelets that say, pray for one. And we do this, this challenge where every day, and I have that bracelet on all the time. So I'm constantly reminding myself of it. I look down and it's like, oh yeah, today I need to pray. And I ask God, today, give me one person to share your love with. And it doesn't mean I always do it. Mean I always follow through, but if I do pray that prayer, he's always going to provide that. And that helps that day, give meaning and purpose to that day as well. And not think so much of the future or like this big ministry or thing that I need to do, but it's like today, there's got to be one person that in some way I can share his love with.
Yes, I love that. And that makes it feel a lot less heavy if it's just like one thing, one day, one person. It's not like, well, I need to live the whole rest of my life for God. It's like, what can I do right here and right now? That's such a great, great point. And I know that a lot of times the hurried and the feeling like we just don't have enough time pulls people away from that. But it really can take just a few minutes. And if you ask God in the morning, if you literally, like if your quote unquote morning routine just looks like taking 30 seconds to say a prayer and ask God to bring somebody in your path today or show you something today that will have meaning in your life, if you ask him for that, he'll show up. And then you'll want to keep doing it because you'll realize that it is impacting your life and the life of other people
too. Absolutely. Yeah. And the desire for that God, I really want this. I yearn for this. I'm a human, so I fall short and I mess up, but please reveal yourself to me today. Speak, for your servant is listening, is, one of my favorite scriptures. And just speak today, give me someone to share your love with, show me something new, and help me to be mindful of when that happens.
Yes, absolutely. It can just even that small little thing can make such a huge difference. So important. So tell us where we can find you. Where can we find you online? Where can we find your book? All that good stuff.
The best place is the book's website, because not only does it have direct links to where you can purchase, but it also has my blog and Twitter and, different ways to connect. So searchingforseven.com is that website. And I would love to connect. I love the conversation. I actually pulled a Bob Goff example and put my phone number in the back of the book even, just because would love, even a text or phone call if someone wants to talk and expand on some of the ideas or anything. I'm open and ready to connect with people. So searchingforseven.com.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. So I always end each of my guest interviews asking if you have a favorite Bible verse that really speaks to you that you'd like to share with the audience. Is there a favorite of yours?
Yes, my favorite is Colossians 3:23, and I go into more detail in the book as to why, but it basically says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And it's kind of one of the overarching verses of the entire message, because that word whatever encompasses everything. It's not just, hey, when you go to church or when you do this or that. It's whatever I do, I'm supposed to do it with all my heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So I love it.
I do too. That's such a great one. Thank you so much for your time today. I'm really excited about this book. I think it's so needed. I think that it's something that, people should definitely go grab, because audience, it's a struggle. It's a struggle for all of us, but it is life-changing when you start to make sure that you're putting God in every single day of your life, not just on Sunday morning. So Tyler, thank you again for joining me.
Thanks
I really
so much
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Hey, have you visited the Grace Over 40 Midlife Collective yet? You haven't? Well, you need to go. It's basically my hub for everything that I offer to help you smooth out what I call the messy middle. So you'll find lots of resources for midlife. There's freebies, there's digital studies, there's group membership, all kinds of stuff there that's designed to just help you out along this path of midlife. So please head over and check it out. I'm pretty sure you'll find something there that you could definitely use. It's called the Grace Over 40 Collective, and you can find a link to it on my website. Thanks so much for listening.